Amen. Thank you for all the music that was played and sung this morning as worship to our Father in heaven. During our journey to Easter, we heard all about Herod's expectation, him being the king over the Jews, that his expectation was of receiving praise and worship and adoration. But we saw through the actions of Palm Sunday that God's expectation is different, that praise and worship and adoration belong solely to Jesus, who is the King of the Jews, the King of kings, and Lord of lords. And then on Good Friday, we heard about man's agenda against Jesus, that they wanted him dead. The religious leaders were threatened by Jesus' authority, his power, and his claims of divinity. So they had him arrested and put to death on the cross for some very unrighteous reasons. Then, through the actions of Good Friday, we learned about God's agenda, which surprisingly was very similar to that of man's, that Jesus would die on a cross, but for a completely different reason, for a different agenda, for a very righteous agenda. It was for the salvation of the world. Because God loves us, he sent his Son to die so that we might live eternally with him. So today we arrive at the end of our journey to Easter, Easter Sunday. We will examine man's response to the death of Jesus. And then we'll look at God's response to the death of his Son, Jesus, which is very triumphant indeed. Let us pray. Father God, we are so thankful for this journey we have taken. We've been with you there as you came into Jerusalem on the back of that donkey, coming in peace. We were there with you when you were beaten and hung on a cross to die. And we're here with you today as we celebrate your Father's response to your death. Bless us, Lord Jesus, as we seek to bless you. Thank you in your name. Amen. So after Jesus died on the cross, we're told he was buried in a tomb. Matthew 27 says this: when it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. The man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And so Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the entrance of the tomb and went away. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the grave. But that wasn't enough for the leaders of the day. They wanted to make sure that no one would tamper with the body of Jesus, which is why we read in Matthew 27 that on the next day, the day after the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that when he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I am to rise again.' Therefore, give orders for the grave to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal him away, and they'll say to the people, 'He is risen from the dead.' And that last deception will be worse than the first." So Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go, make it secure as you know how." And so they went and made the grave secure. And along with the guard, they set a seal on that stone. So Jesus was buried. His tomb was sealed. And the authorities had it guarded by soldiers. The government and the religious leaders were elated. They were overjoyed. They had determined that they had now just, in effect, wiped out this new religious movement led by that radical Jesus of Nazareth. His people had fled in fear. They were in hiding. And one by one, they would be rooted out and killed as well. So their agenda worked. The result in their eyes was the extinguishment of what we now call Christianity. It was dead because their leader was dead. And so their response to the death of Jesus was a sense of accomplishment and self-pride. But what of God's response to the death of his son? Well, he may have had a similar agenda as that of the religious leaders, Jesus' death on a cross, but God's response, as we know, was completely and utterly different. So we read in Matthew 28, verses 1 through 7. Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like that of lightning, and his clothes as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him, and they became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here. For he has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you so." Jesus is alive. Jesus has risen, just as he had predicted he would. Jesus, the Son of God, has now defeated death. So how do we know? How do we know that he truly defeated death and didn't do what the Pharisees and religious leaders and governmental authorities were afraid would happen, that his disciples simply stole his body? How do we know that? Well, the stone in front of the tomb had been rolled away, for one. Well, his disciples could have done that. Well, the guards were so scared that they became like dead men being knocked out. Well, I guess the disciples could have snuck up and knocked them over the head and knocked them out. That's possible. But then he proceeded to appear in bodily form to many, many people. And that's not something the disciples could have done on their own. He appeared first to Mary in John 20, 15. He says, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Mary then went to tell the disciples that Jesus was alive, but they didn't believe her. They didn't believe her. He then appeared to two men, one named Cleopas, on the road to Emmaus in Mark 16, 12 to 13. It says, after that, he appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking along on the way to the country. They went away and reported it to the others. But they did not believe them. Two times Jesus appeared to three people now. And when they went and told other people, the disciples did not believe them. So then Jesus appeared to the disciples who were in hiding in John 20. It says, so when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut, where the disciples were hiding for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. They finally believed, the disciples finally believed that Jesus had indeed risen from the dead. This was after the stone was rolled away and the guards were knocked out and the body disappeared. And then he appeared again, Jesus did, to seven disciples who were fishing on the Sea of Galilee in John 21. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to the disciples by the Sea of Galilee, it says. And then this was followed by his appearing before the 11 disciples on a mountain to give them the Great Commission to go and preach the good news of his resurrection to the world. We are told that over 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus appeared to over 500 different people all at the same time. Here is Paul's written account of all of Jesus' post-resurrection appearances as he wrote them in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 to 8. Paul says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born." So what was God's response to the death of Jesus? God's response was the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. He is alive. Acts 2 says this: "This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. Therefore, let all of the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ. This Jesus, whom you crucified, is now alive." This is what Peter said. Peter, who was running away in fear. The Peter who denied Jesus three times. Jesus, who was hiding when Jesus showed up to see him after he rose from the dead. This is Peter's first public sermon. He was preaching this to anyone who would listen. And some people that were listening were the governmental leaders and the religious leaders. So how did these leaders respond to the news that Jesus was alive? Well, many of the leaders didn't believe, these governmental and religious leaders. They thought the disciples had stolen his body and were now deceiving the people with their false stories of resurrection, which actually led to Peter and John's arrest in Acts chapter 4. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. So they seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The government and the religious leaders would continue to threaten, arrest, beat, and jail anyone who spoke out about Jesus as being risen from the dead. But that didn't stop people from preaching Jesus risen. Acts 6:7, the word of God kept on spreading, and the number of believers continued to increase greatly, and even a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to their faith. Hallelujah. We're told in Acts 5:17 that the high priest and his associates were filled with jealousy. So they killed Stephen. They arrested more believers. They sent Saul, a pious defender of Judaism, after them. He hunted believers down. He burned their scriptures. He destroyed the homes that they met in. They beat them, and he put them to death until he met the risen Savior on the road to Damascus, where he believed and was saved and was given that new name, Paul, as one who is abnormally born, is how he referred to himself. And the story goes on and on and on throughout history. The response of the government and the religious leaders throughout history has been disbelief and violence against the followers of Jesus. They have tried to destroy the Bible over and over again. There's one story you read in history where they thought they could destroy all the written Bibles because there weren't very many. It's hard. People didn't know how to read. They had to translate it by hand by the monks. So they thought if we just burned every Bible that every monk had ever penned, we could destroy the scriptures once and for all. And then how do you like that? By coincidence, the Gutenberg press was invented. And it became very easy, a lot easier, to reprint the Bible en masse. God knew what he was doing. They had tried throughout history to make it illegal to be a Christian, arresting and killing anyone, burning them, stoning them, hanging them, burying them alive because they proclaimed to be a follower of Jesus. So they thought, if we just make this religion illegal in the empire, then we'll wipe it out. Well, then wouldn't you know it, along comes Roman Emperor Constantine, who converted to Christianity. The very government who voted in favor, along with the religious leaders, to send Jesus to the cross, the very empire later in history converted to Christianity. And because the Emperor Constantine became a Christian, guess what? All of the Roman Empire had to become Christians. Only 10 years later, Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire. Praise God. Well, man's response to the death of Jesus has been to live like he has gone for good. God's response was resurrection and the gift of eternal life to all those who believe in him. Jesus says in Revelation 1:18, I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades. And then in 2 Timothy 1:10, but it now has been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and brought life in immortality to light through the gospel. We do not serve a dead God. We've said this over and over again. Our God reigns. He is alive. He is here with us today. He is with us wherever we go. He watches over us. He takes care of us. So do not be discouraged. No matter what the government does today, tomorrow, a year from now, no matter what religious institutions do today or tomorrow or a year from now, no matter the persecution, the threats, the fear of imprisonment, or even for some, the possibility of death, do not be dismayed, because we are followers of Jesus. No matter what, God's expectation, God's agenda, and God's response will always be the same. It's consistent. We are to praise, worship, and adore Jesus. We are to be reminded what Jesus' death brought us. Forgiveness of our sins. We just need to confess them. And we are to be encouraged that we do not serve a dead God. He is alive, he is in control, and no matter what man tries to do, Christianity, Jesus, will be forevermore. The scriptures say it's going to get worse. We think what the government's been doing, the religious institutions, we think what man has been doing has been really bad, and it has been. Scripture says it's going to get worse as we get closer to the end. But don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. Because God knows what he's doing, and he will not let our faith disappear. So for those who put their faith in Christ and in Christ alone, you will receive eternal life with him in heaven. Nothing man does will ever prevent the gift of salvation from being free to anyone who wants it and who believes it and believes in the one who gives it. They can't stop us. They won't succeed. So don't be afraid. God's got our back. He's alive. He is risen. He is risen indeed. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Can we get the lights, please? Let's watch this video.